When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Let's spike the punch, grind to usher, and talk about our favorite topic, ourselves.
Hello, I am Donnie, and I am the cute one.
And I am a shell of a woman, and I am the cute one.
I'm glad you said it, because you certainly look it. And there's not even a wig this week, and you still look like they found you in the woods.
Donnie, this movie broke me.
This movie reset me in all the ways I need it. I've been listening to the soundtrack. I really tried to push this recording back a few days more so I could buy a sexy sailor costume. But alas, we didn't.
If you had shown up to this recording wearing a sexy sailor outfit, I think I would have just logged off and turned off my computer, thrown it into the ocean, and moved to Mexico or Canada or maybe the moon.
All of the above are fine. And you would have said, where is my mind?
Yeah, as they threaten to lobotomize me. I feel like I've had a lobotomy after this movie. Jesus Christ.
But cuties, if you don't know what movie we're talking about, it's Never Been Kissed. No, just kidding. It's Sucker Punch. The best movie in the world. Chelsea clearly disagrees. You've been teasing me all month that Dr. Bald has been trying to sabotage me, and I feel like he won.
Yeah, this was really the battle of my Pisces husbands, because when Dr. Bald saw the Donnie Appreciation Month lineup, he was like, wow, okay, the first three are amazing. He was like, oh my gosh, I'll watch Red Eye with you. I love that movie. Then he was like, oh, I think you're really going to enjoy Little Shop of Horrors. I had Troop Beverly Hills on. He was in and out of the room making comments. When he heard about Sucker Punch, the belly laugh that came from this man, a maniacal laughter. And he said, oh my God, this is going to be your least favorite movie of all time. And I was really put in a pickle because, you know, I do not like to prove him right. Mm-hmm. So then I had on one hand you telling me that I better like it, which makes me automatically want to hate it. But then on the other side, it was like a little angel and devil on my shoulder, except it was just two emotional Pisces men devils. Then on the other hand, I had him being like, oh, you're going to hate it, which made me want to like it. So I went into this experience with an open heart, an open mind. And I hate to tell you, but Dr. Bald was correct, because I do think this might be the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
And this is where I warned you it was coming, and yet you walked right into it. You just didn't understand it.
Oh, I think I understood it in many ways. Perhaps you did not. This movie was feminism through the lens of a man congratulating himself on understanding feminism. It was really, truly that episode of South Park where all the pretentious people start smelling their own farts. I think that this movie really captures that spirit. It's just, ooh, I love it.
Okay, but if you constantly use South Park to explain things, I don't know if your opinion counts in other conversations.
Well, I used to use Saturday Night Live to explain things, and you told me to stop. So now I've moved on to South Park. And soon, next month, we'll be covering Austin Powers. And then that's the universal language we'll all be able to understand through the lens of, yeah, baby.
Okay, that I agree with. Let's jump right into the movie so you can bitch me out some more. So the movie came out March 25th, 2011. It was a Friday, and also just 5 days after my 25th birthday. So I did celebrate by seeing this in theaters. The movie was number two at the box office. You're welcome.
You know what? I do have to thank men for bringing this movie to number two. I do agree with the number. Number two, because this movie was a big old turd.
No, and here's where I hope this makes you change your mind, because you have no choice. Straight men hate this movie because it's too feminist for them. The only people that like this, I think, are gays. And there's not enough of us. One in five. So because of that, we're stuck at number two forever.
Straight men hate this movie because Zack Snyder really thread the needle of pissing everybody off.
Except faggots.
Well, okay, you know what? Who am I to come for the cinematic masterpiece that the F-slurs like. So I'll let you have this one, but I'm still going to talk shit about
it. That's fine. Whether he did it on purpose or not, I do feel like it was made for faggots. And because of that, I eat it right up every time. So Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, was number one in the box office. Born This Way by Lady Gaga was the number one song in the United States. And the United States fails to be superior to every country yet again, because Don't Hold Your Breath by Nicole Scherzinger was number one in the UK. And that's where I wish I lived. It should have charted here, if we're being honest. I certainly tried to make it happen. I still do to this day.
Well, there's still time. Britney Spears fans helped her song get to number one just a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. Scherzingers? Is that our fan name? I don't know. Help me out. On this day also.
Yeah, I thought you were going to keep talking about that, but nope. Just help me out. Keeping it moving.
On this day also, Amanda Knox filed an injunction so that Italy couldn't air the Lifetime movie about her, and that it wouldn't be available to watch online. And on TV, Body of Proof debuted on ABC, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, and Big Love ended their series runs, and also Elizabeth Taylor died.
Wow, a lot happening.
So cuties, this episode was supposed to be a Donnie Appreciation Month film. However, due to life happening, due to technology issues, it's now our April Fool's Day episode.
And you know what? I think sometimes we do fall upward. Sometimes our brand speaks for itself, because I do feel like this is apt, because you are a fool for liking this movie.
And only a fool would not like this movie.
And April Fools, this podcast is going to keep going. No, it's not. This is the end. This is our last episode ever. So I hope all the cuties enjoyed our run. This movie has broken us.
Here's the thing. I came into this episode unable to be angry, because you can say whatever you want about this movie. I won't take it personally. I just won't yes and you. So you will be speaking into my lobotomized eyeball.
You act like that's not what happens every single episode anyway. You act like that's a change of pace, that I'm going to rant and it's going to be met with dead eyes staring back at me.
I try my best to yes and you normally, but if I'm wearing a beanie, forget it. That's why I didn't come with any props today. Just black, like I'm in stage crew. But we won't start off the episode hating each other, because you told me yet again something good.
Okay, my fight against face blindness journey continues, because I may have hated this movie, but I knew people in it. I recognized people.
Who?
Vanessa Hudgens, obviously. The girl from The Hunger Games and Saved.
Good, okay.
And then Sweet Pea is from the classic disaster film, Geostorm.
Oh.
So I really was noticing everybody. And Jon Hamm, too.
Uh-huh. Did you know Blue, the, like, mobster guy that runs the club?
No.
Oh, Oscar Isaac. That's who, like, the world is obsessed with right now. Him and Pedro Pascal.
Oh, I know about Pedro because I follow Priscilla. It's PCav on Instagram. But no, I don't know about Oscar Isaac. But he was a good bad guy.
He was. And hot, too. But I don't know what that says about me. I need to go to this therapist, I guess, because I clearly have issues. But this was my first movie I saw Blue in. So now that he is getting, like, a legitimate career and in, like, Star Wars movies and all these things like that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so proud of him. I knew him when.
Knew him when his career was actively being sabotaged by Zack Snyder.
No, this was star-studded. It was not going to flop. And it did flop. But, like, it would never flop in my hearts with this cast. So if today's episode makes you laugh or scream or put on your sexy sailor outfit, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A 5-star review is the easiest way to help us grow our audience and this community. So thank you in advance. Let's get into some background information. It was written and directed by Zack Snyder.
And I've said his name several times. And the fact that I have paid attention enough to know his name, you know he's in big trouble. This man has found himself at the very tippy top of my nemesis list. Michael Rapaport can take a deep breath, a sigh of relief. He has been bumped down, because Zack Snyder, I've got my eye on you.
Just
sir.
For this movie?
Yes. I can't express to you, Donnie, how much I hate this movie. Wow. Like, Kill Bill isn't feminist by any means, but at least it has a plot and characters that I understand.
I told you you didn't understand it, and now you've proved me right, and I can rest.
Okay, fine. Maybe, you know what? Maybe this movie was too deep for me. Maybe the Inception style foreplay of trauma porn and sexualized violence just went, woo, right over my head.
It did.
But
it did.
At least with movies like Kill Bill, I can understand the characters' motives. I know their backstory. I understand their purpose. This film was like, he cut out paper dolls and animated them and then was like, all right, go forth and be sexy, but not too sexy because I'm proving a point.
Okay.
In conclusion, fuck you, Zack Snyder. I've got my eye on you.
So I read a paper. I don't know if it's a paper. It's no one's like thesis from college, but it was an article, I guess, about all of his movies having queer undertones and being for gay people. So I came to tell you you're homophobic if you didn't like Zack Snyder.
Okay, well, one thing I know about the queer community is there's no misogyny in there.
None.
My doorbell's ringing.
Oh.
It's Zack Snyder.
I sent him. Do you need to go?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure it's like an Amazon package or something.
Okay.
I'm building my door.
What?
I'm building my front door.
What does that mean?
I just decided that I was going to learn construction, so I'm building my front door.
Oh, my God. A bookshelf might have been a proper thing, not the thing that, like, gives your family safety.
I know.
Build a front door.
Anyway.
Okay. So, Zack Snyder also was behind the Justice League movie, released the Snyder Cut, Wonder Woman, and 300.
He's behind Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Well, that explains a lot,
The
too.
First Wonder Woman is so good. Eat your words.
I'll eat your ass.
What didn't you like?
Oh, no. I almost just, that was not an insult, but I meant it as one. We don't need to get into Wonder Woman. We'll save that for 4 years when we can talk about it.
Wonderful. The budget was $82 million, and it made $90 million. But that's just because America hates women and didn't want to support such a star-studded cast.
I hate you. I hate you so much. Okay, and I'm just going to make a disclaimer. I am going to try to save my rants because I do know it will get tired if our entire dialogue is you saying something and me saying you're an idiot and then me saying something and you saying you're an idiot. So I am going to try to yes and bits of it when I can find it.
So, it was nominated for Worst Movie of the Year and Biggest Disappointment of the Year at the Golden Schmoes, but it lost to Jack and Jill and Green Lantern, respectively.
You know what? I'm not mad about those winners.
Me neither. Number two, yet again, at the box office and at the Golden Schmoes. Roger Ebert didn't review it. And I don't know if it's because he's dead or he just didn't want to go. But Elizabeth Weisselman of the New York Times said, if I were to guess how Hollywood envisions the inside of a teenage boy's brain, it would look exactly like Zack Snyder's sucker punch.
That is true. And also, that is not true. I saw a Roger Ebert quote that made me laugh. I don't think it was an official review, but he did comment on it.
Oh,
so hold on.
Okay.
Sucker Punch is so bad that when the lobotomist turned up, I wanted to scream, I'll have what she's having.
Wow. Oh, he tweeted it. Chelsea, is that really him?
And when did he die? Because this was from March 2011. I love the idea that he's tweeting from beyond the grave, that he had to be resurrected to
when
shit on this movie.
Did Roger Ebert die? 2013, so maybe he did tweet it.
He didn't even care enough to give it an official review, but he was like, I do need to let people on Twitter know what I'm thinking.
Well, there's also a link, and we're not going to spend too much more time on it, but there's a link on this tweet. I'm going to click it and see if it takes me to his review.
Imagine you get Rickrolled.
No, it takes me to a Honda dealership, Chelsea. This is somehow fake. I don't know if you tweeted it. I don't know if you put it on the internet today.
That's what really caused my computer to melt down the other week is I was hacking into Roger Ebert's Twitter account and I got a virus.
How weird. Okay.
But that quote about it being inside of a teenage boy, I 100% co-sign.
And I think that's why I like it because when I was 25 years old, that's when my mom was buying me and my sister the same stuff for our stockings. Like, I do have a juvenile taste palette. So this movie made me feel like I was taking in art, but like at a digestible level because it was hot girls in cute outfits and they were fighting. So like I felt like I was covering all my bases. And I do understand I'm a select target audience and not every movie can be made only for me. But this movie was made only for me. And I appreciate its existence.
Well, I love that you feel so seen and represented by this film, because I certainly the fuck did not.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Like what you're hearing? Head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for more.
There you can find uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes.
That's patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne. See you there.
There's two taglines.
Okay.
And you have to choose whether to give it a lobotomy or let it get on your bus. The first one is, feed your head.
Feed your head? You know what? I'm so broken. I'm going to let that one on my bus. Sure. Come on back. Let me be the male savior that allows this poor, poor, innocent female tagline get on my bus.
And the second one is, you will be unprepared.
You know what? I wasn't. That is true. I was not prepared for this film, and I will lobotomize. Thank you very much. Eat my head?
Feed your head. I still know what it means.
Yeah, it's probably like Zack Snyder was like, oh, get it? Head?
I don't know if Zack Snyder is gay or not. He's not out if he is. I Googled it. He also doesn't have nudes. I Googled that too. I just wanted to see. I figured if he had nudes out, that was a step closer to finding out he is gay. But no, he's not out. So if he is gay, it is a secret. But if he is gay, I think it explains a lot of his art.
Okay. Well, life's little mysteries.
I'll find out. I'll get to the bottom of this. Feed your head. So some trivia. Amanda Seyfried was cast as Baby Doll, but dropped out before it started. And then the role of Amber, which was Jamie Chung. I don't know if you know her from Real World San Diego and other things.
I am familiar with her.
Jamie Chung, we need to take a second. That's going to be when I start my own podcast. It's just going to be where I talk about Jamie Chung every episode. But the role of Amber was all over the place. They settled on her, but it was originally open to Nicole Kidman, Emma Stone, Frida Pinto, and Naomi Watts.
Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, like they didn't know what they wanted from this character.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Jamie Chung, because I think if anyone could have nailed that multifaceted character, it was you.
And I understand the way you're saying multifaceted, but it was. Anyway, Evan Rachel Wood was the first choice for Rocket, but she dropped out due to scheduling conflicts. In August 2021, Jenna Malone had like a little reunion with all the girls post-COVID, and she said she wishes they would make a prequel. I don't know if it would be without Baby Doll or what, because like
the movie starts when Baby Doll gets there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also bold to want to do a prequel 10 years later.
Bold to do a prequel of a movie that only made $8 million.
And is universally hated.
That Roger Ebert came from hell to talk about. So which character, if any, do you identify
with? I identify as John Hamm because I also wanted to be issuing lobotomies after seeing this film. Maybe self-inflicted, honestly. What about you?
I identify as Blondie, which is Vanessa Hudgens, because originally she wasn't welcoming of Baby Doll. Like, I am a bitch when I first meet people behind their back, not to their face. And then she didn't want to escape until the alpha approved because she wanted to follow the rules. And then once she agreed to it and was like fully behind the idea, she had an emotional breakdown and told the full plan to someone that she thought she could trust and got herself killed.
You know what?
That's
Let me take this opportunity to say yes and... I co-sign everything that you've just
Thank
said.
You. Now, we have a 1-minute synopsis, and I have a feeling this cutie is going to sound like me, which is not normally how we do things around here. Normally, when I moderate, the Hollywood talent that calls in sounds suspiciously like Chelsea. But this week, I don't trust Hollywood, so I think our talent is going to sound a little bit like me. Huh. Take it away.
Mike Wazowski. It's Roz from Monsters, Inc. If you're looking for a movie that makes you scream or laugh with our new laugh floor, I've got quite the movie for you. Sucker Punch. It is the beacon of feminism. It is a movie within a movie within a movie. It will really make you think. It will really make you feel. Unless you are a shell of a human with no brain. Perhaps you got lobotomized because this is art, and anyone that doesn't think so must be half crazy. With that said, the movie's about a young girl, Baby Doll, who then gets lobotomized. But before she does, she has just enough time to think that she is in a brothel. And when she's in the brothel, she thinks she's in a video game. Following along? If not, you're dumb. Get back to work.
Wow, thank you.
Apt summary we had there.
Okay, so let's dive in. In the best opening scene of any movie ever made, a haunting version of Sweet Dreams Are Made of This plays as the mother of a blonde 20-year-old girl with pigtails dies and leaves everything in her will to Pigtails and Pigtail's sister, much to the dismay of Pigtail's stepfather. So after some attempted assault on the younger sister, Pigtails decides to shoot him. However, guns are for idiots. We can all agree on that, I hope. And she ends up killing her younger sister instead. Okay, I will say, I don't know why she couldn't finish the job and just shoot this old bastard in the head, but she doesn't. She, like, runs down the hallway in slow motion, and then the old pervert puts her in a mentally insane Lennox house in Vermont, and her stepfather pays a little extra to get her a lobotomy.
Yep, all that happened in the best opening scene of any movie ever made.
Chelsea, I watched it 4 times when I was trying to make this outline.
You are sick.
It's just so good. I'm obsessed with it. And I did text you that you would know from this first scene whether you'd love or hate this movie. I feel like it truly sets the tone. Now, did you know about, like, big robots and, like, Nazi zombies? No, you didn't. But I still figured it would somehow set the tone. So, did you love or hate the opening? And do you think I'm right that it predicted how you would feel about the movie?
I think you're exactly right that it predicted how I would feel about this movie. And I do think you're exactly right that it sets the tone from the beginning. So, I have to give it to this film. It really just hits the ground running with what it's going to be about. I have follow-up questions for you, though. What do you like about this scene?
It's everything. It's chilling. It's artistically beautiful when the button pops off the floor and we get a close-up. The light bulb that shoots before we find out the sister's dead. Uh-huh. It is just so intense. I feel like Zack Snyder would be a trillionaire if he wouldn't have made the rest of this movie and just submitted this opening 3 minutes as a short film somewhere. Play it in front of us. I don't care where
Fuck
you play
that old cartoon man playing chess. Let's get some trauma porn right from the get-go.
Oh, it's perfect, I think.
Yeah, it's something.
I'm glad that we are writing this movie. I mean, we're not.
I want to be very clear. I did not write this movie. I had nothing to do with
this
movie.
I'm glad that we are recapping this movie in general before we ever get to the point in our friendship where I ask you to be a test reader for a novel before I send it off to publishers, because a lot of the things I write are similar to the first 3 minutes of this. Okay. Do I have childhood trauma? Yes. Did I have disordered eating? Yes. But I think, like, in the trauma porn Olympics, I did have less terrible things happen to me than a lot of other people. And because of that, I don't have life experience in writing things like this. So I always go to, like, the darkest places in my mind, such as this whole opening scene. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Donnie? I'm so glad that we can come together and agree upon something, because this movie is also going to start residing in the darkest places of my mind. I think that in the scheme of the trauma that I've been through, watching this almost 2-hour film is right up there with the worst of it. A couple things that you just said. Number one, I do think that it's important for you and all cuties out there to remember that you oftentimes don't think your own trauma is as bad as everybody else's because you've normalized it. Because I've heard some of your stories, Donnie, and I beg to differ about some of the things you just said.
Okay.
But I think the thing about this opening is it's just so
heavy-handed.
So heavy-handed. It reminds me of, like, a film student's first movie where it's like, there's no subtlety. I'm going to show the teacher that I've been paying attention. So I'm going to do all of the things to let the audience know what's going on. Like, let's immediately start out with the threat of sexual assault. But it's okay because she's going to get revenge. Oopsie kitty. No, she didn't get revenge. So now she's a damsel in distress and bad at murder. I don't know, but this is in line with, and not to take it to this place, but hey, you chose the movie. I have this theory about sexual violence in film through the ages, because I've been watching a lot of, like, 90s horror movies with Dr. Bald lately, and I feel like in the 90s, it was like a damsel in distress who bad men do bad things to her, but it's okay because a good man rescues her, so then she's okay. Then in the 2000s, it was like bad men are doing things to her, but then she becomes stronger because of it. So it's like, it was all worth it because she became a stronger woman because of these bad things. And this very much is in line with that. And now in present day, we're in this era, bad men do bad things to these women, which then makes her distrusting of all men, even the good ones. And that's the period we're in now. So I would love to see the future where it's like, maybe we don't have to be sexually assaulted or have violence to have any character growth. Maybe we could do it without that. But you know what? That's a tale for another day. And I don't know if Zack Snyder is going to get there today.
Yeah. Which category does the newest reboot of Black Christmas fall in?
I haven't seen
it. Oh, don't. It's awful. Well, you'll probably love it then. It was such a flop. Also, do people still get lobotomies today?
They shouldn't. But I'm sure there's somewhere that's doing it.
Because I said as a joke on my Instagram that I want one because I think it would help clear my sinuses. Because sometimes I just think about dink and then like my nostrils would open up for the gods. That and sniff drugs clear me up. But a cutie was like, actually, you can get them. And I was like, yeah, but not to sign yourself up for one. Like, that's the end of the game, ain't it? Am I dumb?
Well, you are dumb, but I don't think a lobotomy is going to make you smarter. And it certainly wouldn't be good for this podcast.
So we'll do it on the Patreon and see
what happens. That'll be the end of our Simple Life reboot. And then we're going to give ourselves lobotomy. I'm learning how to build a front door today. Tomorrow, I'll learn how to do a lobotomy. Stay tuned. The sky's the limit with my hobbies.
Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking, or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it. When Where Is My Mind starts playing as a lobotomy is threatened, I groan. And I'm so glad that I did not see this movie until present day where I could watch it in the safety of my home, because I can almost hear the 18-year-old film student douchebags mansplaining this opening scene to their girlfriends who they're about to like never give an orgasm to ever in their relationship. I can just hear like, look, he's throwing the papers, the will. It's not said explicitly, but we're supposed to infer. Like, ugh.
Now, you don't have to imagine that, because that is me. I'll never give you an orgasm, and I will explain it to you. So the orderly, Blue, played by Oscar Isaac, takes Pigtails, or as the movie calls her, Baby Doll, to the theater, a room where patients act out their trauma with resident therapist Dr. Gorski in front of other patients. And it's here that they can let the pain go, let the hurt go, let the guilt go. After all, the world you control, that place can be as real as any pain.
Hashtag go ahead and dissociate. No need to face real life.
Well, funny you should say that, because that world that she goes to in her mind is apparently a brothel owned by a mobster that is also played by Blue, the orderly, played by Oscar Isaac. And I think this is the kind of therapist I need to find. Because if every week I could do a one-man show about my childhood trauma, like my parents making me go on Weight Watchers or pissing my pants in middle school, I would take that shit to Broadway.
Honestly, I do think that maybe you should workshop. Like, you know how people go release a novel that's just like a series of essays?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you should release a one-man show that's just a series of one act of all of your traumas. I would see that.
Oh, that's good.
I would see it. I would be okay. Seated in that theater.
That would be a good idea. I started writing a book of essays about my life, and the only one I wrote was about bullying Deborah.
Well, what? It's a formative memory in my mind, that's for sure.
The chapter is called, I Thought You Loved Jesus. Now, if you retreated into a fantasy world and disassociated, what would it be? I'll go first because I ask questions to answer them. Mine would either be Candyland or it would be a 90s sitcom, like complete with a wall missing of my house and a live studio audience.
That's chilling. That answer is haunting. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I was just going to say the usual. Like, number one, it would be a universe where this movie doesn't exist, but probably where I go anyway. Whenever I'm imagining like you and I making it big, doing a live show. I imagine us on stage, like people laughing and cheering. It would just be like my delusions of grandeur, but like more specific.
Oh, okay.
But I don't imagine things in my mind. I realize this about myself. Like, when you picture something, can you picture it? Close your eyes and picture an apple. Can you see an apple in your head?
No.
Me either.
But do you never see visions in your head? Oh, so when it's not by choice, I do. Like, let's say the movie opened with like a really gross murder and I couldn't get it out of my head. That I see over and over.
Oh.
But like, if I want to not think about it, I can't be like, think of Candyland, because it won't come up.
Well, that's troubling. But yeah, I don't have an inner monologue and I can't picture things.
So what goes on
up there? It's just tumbleweeds. People think I'm being facetious when I say I don't have thoughts. It's just vibes.
I truly can't understand that. I know you're not alone because that's like the big thing now. People talking about how they don't have an inner monologue. But like, I was awake all last night. I couldn't sleep because it was only like people talking in my head.
People.
Like, yeah, not like different voices, but like all different thoughts. As if I was in a crowded auditorium.
Okay.
But I heard it. Well, not as if they were next to me.
I understand.
In my head.
Yeah. I understand. I don't understand firsthand, but like that's how my brother is.
So when you have anxiety or like you're overwhelmed or whatever, what goes on up there?
When I have anxiety, it's like physical. Like I physically feel anxious. Oh. So it's like my chest feels tight, my breath, I feel overwhelmed, and it's a feeling of overwhelm. Like it's a feeling of like, I don't know what to do next because the vibes are bad. Again, I'm just going off vibes, and if the vibes are bad, it's hard to be on the straight and narrow. You start building doors. You know?
Yeah, I get it. My roommate, before I moved in with Quinn, used to make me mad on purpose because she knew when I would get upset, I would wash the dishes because I needed to be control of something.
That's fucked.
I know.
Genius, but fucked.
Yeah. Well, then she taught Quinn that. So now I curse that woman. So in the fantasy world, Baby Doll is not here waiting for the doctor to arrive for her lobotomy, but instead is being sold to the brothel from the orphanage, ready for the high roller to arrive to take her. It's here that she meets the star of the show, Sweet Pea, her short-haired, spunky sister, Rocket, snarky Blondie, and empathetic Amber. Do you like any of them, or are you just going to be miserable?
I'm having a nice time talking shit, Donnie.
Okay.
I'm having a lovely time.
Wonderful.
No, I don't care about any of them. That's the problem. I don't hate any of them. I don't like any of them. I feel complete apathy. Like, I just don't care. Like, you saying spunky sister, snarky blondie, empathetic Amber, great that you have descriptors, because I didn't get any of that from any of them. They're all just so flat.
I think you had your opinions of the movie and went forward.
Donnie, I promise you, it took me 3 hours to watch this movie because I found myself zoning out going to Candyland and I had to stop and I was like, no, this isn't fair to Donnie. This is one of his favorite movies, and I would rewind and I would force myself to watch it. So I tried my best.
I appreciate
the
it.
Only one that stood out to me was Rocket because of the short hair.
And I even liked her. That's how much I liked this movie. I didn't even mind the short hair. It was a sprite, though, when she's first dressed as the nurse and then takes the wig off. You should have prepared people for that.
If you had a little sexy feminist fighter name, like Baby Doll or Rocket, what would your fighter name be?
Oh, I think it would either be Peaches or Throat Goat.
Mine would be Ass Eater.
Mine would probably be dressed as a cowboy, but with pigtails and denim booty shorts. But my boots go into my booty shorts.
Your boots go in. Oh, like all the way up?
Mm-hmm. So they're not booty shorts at all. It's just a cat suit. But in my head, I know they're booty shorts and long boots.
Well, you could have like cleavage on the butt cheeks.
Oh.
So it's like it's all connected. But on the back, it's like Daisy Dukes. So there is like a slight, almost like Housewives, those sky tops, how they have those weird cutouts. But yours would just be like the under part of
the
butt.
That's perfect. Cheek. And then my top is just a gingham bra, like Dorothy print, but a
bra. You didn't even have to say it, Donnie. I was already there right with you. And I think peaches. It has to be peaches.
Peaches for sure. And I would carry a basket of peaches. But they're grenades.
Yes, I was about to say that, Donnie. You throw them, and then you know how in war movies, how they always like bite off the top? You take a bite of the peach and
you throw it. Yeah, and it drips down my chest, and then I throw it. Oh, we found the prequel. Later at dance rehearsal, Baby Doll is forced to dance for Blue, where she lets the music take her over and she is taken into another, deeper fantasy world. This one is like a video game temple where she meets the wise man who presents her with weapons and tells her that she needs 4 items to escape: a map, a fire, a knife, and a key. There is also going to be a 5th mystery item that only she can find, which will be a deep sacrifice and bring a perfect victory before locking her out in the snow to defeat 3 samurai giants. And when she does, we go back to the brothel, where we find that she has been dancing all along with a dance that leaves everyone who watches in a trance. Now, Chelsea,
yes.
I told everyone, and I've tried to tell you repeatedly throughout this month, and you said, no, save it for the episode. But I've also told people in DMs about this leading up to this episode. I think, and now that I've heard what you said about the movie, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it would have been easier for you to swallow if it was just 2 of these worlds. Now, I do think you still would have had your feminist rage against that. I still think you would have thought the characters were flat. I still think you would want Zack Snyder dead in a ditch where they found you in this outfit. But I do think if it was like the real world and the brothel, or the brothel and then this, and not 3 and just 2, I think you would have liked it a little better.
I don't think so, because I don't think that's my problem with it at all.
What if it was just the brothel and this, and not the real
world? If the brothel was the real world?
Yeah, what if there was no lobotomy world, and it was just a brothel girl, and when she dances, then she fights zombie Nazis?
Okay, I think that would be less troubling for me, because the troubling part is that her fantasy world is still a world in which she is a sex worker where there's a threat of imminent violence all around.
Right.
Like, I want more for her in that. I want her going to Candyland. I would even take the haunting set of a 90s sitcom for her. The troubling part for me is the fact that she is disassociating and somehow going into a world that's like, the stakes are even higher for her. And the threat of violence from men coming at every angle. But, like, I like Inception. I like Shutter Island. I can go deep into the fantasy world. I love world building. My problem is when those worlds are so flat. And I know now that Zack Snyder, when he does interviews about this, because I have done research. I hated this movie so much that I've done research. Again, Donnie, this is the end of your birthday month, and I wanted to be able to present you with something. I was really working overtime, and I didn't want Dr. Bald to be right. I think that's the crux of it. I was looking for a way in to enjoy this movie, so I was like, maybe Donnie's right. Maybe this movie is too deep for me, and I need to like hear what Zack Snyder has to say for himself about this film.
Before you get there, I do want to say, you said it's my birthday, so you wanted to present me with something. Next time you have my address, a gift will suffice. I do accept gifts.
Okay, well, keep that in mind. I will be sending you a Peaches grenade launcher to blow up on you. But now Zack Snyder's saying, like, he purposely made the worlds of CGI, like, colorful and dynamic, but flat on purpose because it was meta commentary on the film industry and blah, blah, blah. And it just made me want to kick him in the balls even harder. But I do have to say, I did find a way to enjoy this movie. Uh-huh. And it was with this scene of the introduction of the wise man. When we met this old white man who is now going to give this feminist icon the weapons and the answers to set herself free. When he says, now go and defend yourself, sends her out into the dangerous world and shuts the doors on her, I laughed out loud because it was like, you cannot write this shit, that this straight white man is going to be the one giving her all of the answers for her survival, but not helping her directly, just giving her the tools because she needs to pull herself up by the bootstraps. Which, speaking of bootstraps, the fact that she wears those shoes the whole time tells me that a man wrote and directed this movie. But this is where I laughed out loud and I was like, okay, if I can watch this movie through the lens that it is an SNL sketch making fun of directors, I can watch this film. And it worked. Okay. In another interview that Zack Snyder did recently, they asked about this wise man. And he said, the wise man really represents the voice inside your head, the one you wished you listened to more. And then the person who wrote the article said, so the voice of this 20-year-old woman's conscience is a David Carradine-esque dude. Got it. It's just like... You can't make it up. It's so stupid.
It is. I will give you that. It is stupid, but I love it so much.
I just recommend everybody listen to Taco Cat is the band. The name of the song is Explain It To Me. And really, the hilarity of those lyrics really capture the vibe of this film. Anyhow.
Taco Cat is my sucker punch. So Baby Doll tells the other girls her plans to escape, and Rocket and Blondie want to join immediately. But it's not until Sweet Pea learns of what happened with the cook that she's in. And so while Baby Doll dances for Blue, she swipes the map from his office. I don't know. Even after that old ass man told me what I needed, I don't think it would help me at all because I am so bad with maps. Even on Google Maps, if it is not facing the way I'm going, I have to, like, turn my phone like this.
Like a
so
compass.
The arrow is going the same way I'm going. Yeah.
Yeah. Google Maps fucks me up all the time.
Yeah. I hate being in the passenger seat of a car because they always, for some reason, they don't trust their GPS. So they're like, Donnie, can you follow along? And then I do incorrectly. You should have just listened to your Nick Jonas on Waze app. But anyway, before Google Maps, in the days of, what was it called?
MapQuest. Yeah.
My family went to South Carolina. I was in high school, and my family made me print the MapQuest directions. So I did. But before I did, I was looking at this restaurant I really wanted to go to where there are women dressed as mermaids when you first enter.
Sure.
And they're in a little lake.
They're in a lake in the restaurant?
Like, a little pond, yeah. When you first come
real
in, there's
people?
Like, yeah. Okay. And they're like, hi. Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, but imagine, sorry, South Carolina cuties. Imagine like South Carolina women. I really wanted to go there. I was looking it up online. And then when I printed the MapQuest directions, I printed directions to that restaurant. So we got there. And then we were like 20 minutes away from where our resort was. And we didn't know how to get there the rest of the time. We had to have someone at the restaurant tell us how to get to like the South Carolina Visitor Center. And then they told us how to get to the resort. My dad was not happy.
Did you get to eat at the restaurant at least?
We went back to it. We go back every time we go to South Carolina.
Are there still women in the lake?
Yeah. The buffet table thing is shaped like a pirate ship. It is so cool.
Wow. I thought you were going to say the buffet is like Samantha Jones laying on that dining room table with sushi all over her.
I would eat there too, to clarify.
Ramona Singer comes over and tells her to get a job.
So with the first item out of the way, the girls continue their mission, stealing the mayor's lighter. But when Blondie has a breakdown and tells the dance instructor everything, Blue overhears and keeps the speaker away from the girls, so Baby Doll is unable to distract the next baddie.
I'm so sorry. I can't let you continue because that Housewives reference was wrong. It was Vicki Gumbelson that told the woman with sushi all over her to get a job. Mm. I know that we are known for being the pinnacle of truth and fair reporting, and I just had to get that out there. Please continue.
No, I appreciate it, because now you educated me, because famously, I don't watch Real Housewives of OC, and I didn't watch New York until Ebony joined the cast.
Which is still wild.
So, either way, I did not get the reference, so I'm glad you cleared it up for the people at home calling you an idiot.
Yeah, I can be called an idiot for many things, but not about Housewives.
But before we get to what happens with the speaker and stuff, I do want to flashback to all of these distraction dances. Because while Baby Doll fantasizes about adventures that mirror the escape efforts, so like they are infiltrating a World War I bunker protected by Nazi zombies when they're getting the map, they're storming a castle to slit a baby dragon's throat and seal the mucus from inside of it or whatever, and they fight robot guards on a train to disarm a bomb. Remember, ladies, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for nothing. That's what the old guy tells him.
No.
And I...
No.
What?
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Isn't that what I said?
No. You said if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for something, which I guess is also true. But...
Oh, yeah. Switch it. And in my notes, I wrote it correctly. So much so that on Facebook, when you can have like inspirational quotes,
no,
and on dating apps, I used to have that. But not only did I have that, Chelsea, I used to credit this movie. So it was like, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Dash Sucker Punch.
You thought Zack Snyder came up with this?
I researched it for this outline, and it goes all the way back to like Alexander Hamilton.
Wait, you found out that it wasn't this movie?
This weekend, yeah.
Wow, you're your very own Michael Scott. It's like Dash Sucker Punch, Dash Michael Scott, Dash Wayne Gretzky, Dash Donnie Hedlund Smith on every dating app. The fact that every time she dances, she goes into this like deeper fantasy world.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes a big yes and. So again, in recent interviews, Zack Snyder, he's like patting himself on the back because he's explaining how this is a self-aware genre movie. And he's saying basically like he never objectified her because the viewer was expecting us to see her dance, but we never see her dance. So I think that's fucking stupid. But... can I make a confession?
Yes, of course.
I don't care if this is a pretentious or pompous or ridiculous choice because I was just happy I didn't have to see her dance. I've talked a lot of shit about this movie. I think I hate Center Stage more. You know what? It doesn't matter how we got here. I applaud Zack Snyder for the decision to not make us watch her dance.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This movie is number two for you as well. Number two worst movie. Yeah. But you know what? I'll take it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Cuties. I know Chelsea said the first 3 minutes are a little heavy-handed and trauma-inducing, but here's where things really get dark. With no speaker of music to dance to, Baby Doll's dance doesn't work on the cook, and he fatally stabs Rocket as they steal his knife. And after that happens, Blue locks Sweet Pea in a closet, kills Blondie and Amber, and attempts to assault Baby Doll. But because she is a feminist icon that Eleanor Roosevelt would be proud to know, she stabs him in the neck before he can and steals his keys. Mm. So, with all four items collected, it's time for an escape. But when Sweet Pea and Baby Doll get outside and the building is surrounded by the police, Baby Doll realizes what the fifth mystery item is. Her. This is Sweet Pea's story. She has to go home, make her family happy, and live a normal life. And so, Baby Doll distracts once more, this time by turning herself in. And I have to ask you, how do you not love this selfless angel?
Selfless. The pinnacle of a woman is to be so selfless. That is to be without a self. Who can a woman be in this world if they don't give every inch of themselves to other people?
But Sweet Pea didn't do that. So if it's Sweet Pea's story, then her friends are just helping her out.
You know what? You're right. Sweet Pea had to go on to be saved by another man first. And then she could go on and live her normal, happy life.
Well, how should she have done it, Chelsea? When those police officers said, excuse me, do you know about the fire at the insane asylum? What was she supposed to do then? If that old man didn't help her.
She could have talked. That could have been a first thing that she could have tried. Instead of just looking at them with her big doe eyes like, oh, I'm just a widow woman. What should I do?
Maybe she was given a lobotomy and couldn't.
You know, maybe.
And only the wise man knew. So he had to be her voice.
You know what? Thank God that the wise man was there to be the woman's voice.
Oh, God, let's wrap this up. So in the real world, she gets the lobotomy, unfortunately. And Dr. Gorski learns her signature was forged to sign off on it. So she calls the police on Blue. And as Sweet Pea is stopped by the police as she's getting on the bus to escape, the wise man, now her bus driver, lies for her and her freedom begins. And yours does, too, because now the movie's over.
I do want to offer one last quote Zack Snyder gave.
Yes, of course.
So he talks about this like other ending he had in mind, but then he talks about this ending. And he said, the reason I wanted John Hamm to do his character is it felt like, in a weird way, he's also a liberator. Even though he's the instrument of destruction, he's also the one that locks Baby Doll into a loop where she's free. Are we saying that lobotomizing women makes them free, Zack Snyder? The more research I did where he tried to explain this movie, I almost wish that he just presented it and then just was like, you know what? It's so deep, I'm not even going to try to explain it. You as the viewers have to figure it out. And then we could have you, Donnie, explaining the button popping and the papers flying. Mm. But when he breaks it down, it somehow makes it even worse.
A little bit, I agree. But also, I do want to buy the Blu-ray now so I can listen to director commentary, because I need an hour and 40 minutes of whatever bullshit he's spewing.
I talked shit quite literally this entire episode. I'm not about to say I like this movie, so don't get your hopes up there. But I will give it at least this. There's no denying that there was a lot happening in this movie. And I would rather have so much to talk shit about than be bored to tears. Mm. And this is the type of hate that I love the most. Like, when I say that talking shit is my love language, this is what I mean. Where this movie, I really enjoyed myself. I felt myself coming to life. The opposite of a lobotomy was happening to me as I talked shit about this film. So for that, I have to say thank you, because I do enjoy when I can get on my soapbox and just screech.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad I gave you that opportunity. As a man, I presented it for you on my birthday, because I, too, am a selfless angel.
No, you're my wise man. Where would I be without you?
And your baby doll.
So, final thoughts. If we were to bring this movie to present day, who would you cast, or what would the plot to a sequel be?
So, I love Jenna I do love Jenna Ortega, but I love Jenna Malone a lot. However, I have no idea what a prequel would be about, so I'm not even going to go down that road. I'm just going to remake it as a HBO 6-episode miniseries. So her arrival and like that 3-minute opening scene is now a full hour long. And then each of the other 5 episodes are each of the things she has to get. And we would only spend a little bit of time with the like zombie Nazis and dragons, because my favorite part is the brothel world. So that's where I want my bread buttered on HBO. Now, this is possibly the best work I've ever done in casting.
Okay.
I really took this seriously. As Baby Doll is Rachel Ziegler from the new Hunger Games movie.
Okay.
The folk music lady. Uh-huh. Then as Sweet Pea, we have Zendaya. As her younger sister, Rocket, we have Amanda Stenberg, who was Rue in the original Hunger Games movie. Then as Blondie, we have Olivia Holt, who played the mom as a teenager in Totally Killer. And then the name Blondie would actually make sense, because she's the only one with blonde hair, as opposed to Vanessa Hudgens, who just had black hair.
Well, I think that was Zack Snyder making a joke.
But they all, oh no, they didn't all have black hair. Okay, maybe. I don't get it. Hated it. Then Amber is Olivia Rodrigo. Dr. Gorski is Jenna Dewan from Step Up and Channing Tatum's ex-wife. And as Blue, we have Nicholas Galitzine, who was in Red, White, and Royal Blue, and also that new Anne Hathaway movie where she fucks Harry Styles.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's my
cast. That's a great cast. I will give you that. Okay. In your HBO remake, can we make it where there's an element of magic or mysticism where they're actually being transported? Can we take away the dissociation part of it? Because I think that was the most problematic part for me. And I know we'll talk about it more in the What Aged Well and What Aged Like Blockbuster, but like the fact that none of that was actually real, even though it's like, was it real? Was it not? The wise man really exists. I feel like if we can make it somehow where they are being transported, maybe I could get more on board.
guess you won't be watching because we're not doing that.
Okay. Well, let me get to mine then. Even though I've just talked shit for 45 minutes and quite literally the sentence before this was like talking about my biggest glaring issue with the plot, I don't actually have a problem with the premise, but I do think maybe it could be told in a savvier way if, I don't know, there were some women involved. Do a remake. Have the same cast even. I don't care. But having like a Greta Gerwig or a Diablo Cody involved, like I do think having people involved that maybe could tell a tale from personal experience, maybe that could clear some things up.
Okay. Greta Gerwig, love Barbie. Thank you for that project. However, it needs to be Diablo Cody.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
So final thoughts. What aged well about this movie and what aged like Blockbuster?
So I'll start. Nothing aged like Blockbuster. I think it's timeless. It's a perfect film. If only one movie survives in the next Civil War and aliens discover it as an artifact to teach them about human beings, I do hope it's this.
The aliens are going to have a lot of follow-up questions, and unfortunately, you won't be here to tell them about it, to tell them about those important messages. I disagree. I think the sexualized violence, the trauma porn, I just feel like it's all just a big old stinker. I think everything about this movie was bad. I'll take that back. The CGI isn't up to today's standards, but in terms of movies we've watched from the past 10 years, I think that given there were two worlds that were almost completely done in CGI, and I know that Zack Snyder does like have legit experience working in that realm, but not bad. Like the CGI does hold up relatively for there to be so much happening.
Also, everything you said that is bad about it, Chelsea, is just the world we live in. So whether it's good or bad, it ages, like I've said, like a timeless masterpiece.
Sure. And you know what? If we're going to go that meta route where it is reflecting the real world, then it also ages well that there is a man who's going to explain what's wrong with men to us. You know, we all ultimately need that wise man who's going to let us know what we need to do to survive. Not going to help us directly, is going to shut the door in our face, but is going to let us know what we're doing wrong and how we should do better.
Cuties, that's what I'm here for. Slide into my DMs if you ever need advice from me, but not help.
Well, we've done it.
We have. And that is officially the end of Donnie Appreciation Month. So April Fool's on us, I guess.
April Fool's on all of us. We can all take a deep breath. It is over. We survived another year. We didn't end up with a lobotomy, but boy, we got close.
But I will say, Chelsea, because I knew you were going to put that pussy hat on and come meowing as soon as this episode started. It passed the Bechdel test.
That's true.
They did not talk about men a lot.
No, only the men that were going to beat them and rape them and hurt
but
them.
But sometimes they didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, sometimes they just talked about the monsters they were fighting and the dragon's throats they had to slit. So I will give you that one.
So on that note, we will talk to you later. Love you like a sister. Bye.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IAmTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donnie Wood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.